Following the path less traveled has always interested What Matters Most show creator, producer, Maria Plass. She's spent decades of her life working in corporate America, feeling unfulfilled, frustrated, and unmotivated. We can relate to that, some of us, right? Lured by the dangling carrot of status quo and financial security, but personally, always feeling like the square peg trying to fit into the round hole. Her true joy and passion was in practicing yoga, healthy lifestyle choices, meditation, and studying holistic modalities. She claims to have always felt connected to the hippie lifestyle that was popular during the morning of her life. As luck would have it, corporate downsizing abruptly concluded her tenure with corporate America and afforded her the opportunity to venture into uncharted territory. On a whim, in the summer of 2010, Maria and her daughter Kristen created the What Matters Most talk show, which was originally recorded in a spare bedroom closet. Unbeknownst to her, this was the beginning of something magical. So welcome to Raising Conscious Kids, Maria Plass.
Hey, thank you so much. I love being here, Kim. And it's so interesting to me to see how this has come full circle, because I don't know if you recall when Kristen and I first started doing the show back in the closet. You were one of our first guests.
I didn't realize I was one of your first guests.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I totally remember being interviewed by you. You guys were awesome.
Oh, thank you.
I didn't know you were coming out of the closet.
In a different type of way.
Exactly.
Isn't that funny? Oh my gosh, yeah, Kim, that interview that we had actually was in such an early stage of the show that it was an MP3. Later on, we went on to Skype interviews and all of that, but you were a sound recording.
Which worked for me. I just got into the whole video era. So, you know, it's all a shift. It's like when you first hear yourself on, I was telling my daughter last night, you know, it'll be so much easier for her because she's going to college in a couple of weeks. I can't believe it. Yeah, so she'll be a freshman. And so I said, it's so much easier for this generation to keep in touch. I said, when I was your age, we had answering machines, but even before that, you called. And if nobody was there,
you hung up.
There was
no way of knowing that anybody even called you. Isn't that the funniest thing? And it's funny because even in the short duration of time of the show, I feel like we've gone through all this technology learning curve, and we continue to learn. I mean, but that's part of the joy of
it's fun.
Of a new venture or a venture that really kind of sings to your soul, right?
Yeah, and I think you and I both are lifelong learners, so.
Oh. You never learn. You're always
learning.
You don't stop.
Yeah.
I think that gives you passion. I think that really gives you a sense of purpose and everything. So, yes, it's lovely. This is my first opportunity in meeting you, too.
I know, in person. And we're both in Hunterdon County.
I know. It really kind of felt like when I met you outside, I thought, oh, I feel like I should have already met her before because we've spoken, you know,
many times. Yeah.
It's been an interesting journey. So thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, so I'm so excited to hear more about it. And I'm just going to take my headphones off because I don't really need them.
Yeah.
And so how did it all begin, Maria? Tell us about, you know, we covered a little bit in the bio, but
tell us
about your journey, because I'm sure there are many of us, like my daughter's going to college. I still have my son at home and he'll be entering high school. But, you know, there are many people at this stage that are, you know, thinking like, oh, boy, like our lives are our kids.
Yeah.
And then even if you're working, like sometimes you can feel like, you know, something brewing, something wants to be born, some kind of passion. Like, is that all there is? And so, you know, you and I have been able to, you know, I've had coaches, I've had support. And so tell us, how has that, you know, how did it all begin for you?
Yeah. Well, what I think is really interesting about the journey of What Matters Most is that never in a million years would I think that I would be sitting here talking about this and then my involvement in it today, because it wasn't something that I always thought in the back of my mind, oh, gee, I'd love to make this show.
Right.
Oh, I really want to start interviewing people.
Right.
I want people to share Me stories.
Too. Me too.
It wasn't like I was like, oh my gosh, this is my
it's on my list.
In life. No, it wasn't on my bucket list at all. I just knew that I was very unhappy in corporate America, and I knew that I really never fit in. And just because of the fact of corporate downsizing and all of that, I was put into this situation
where
suddenly
it was a blessing
in disguise.
Yeah, in disguise.
Because it was a horrible period of time for me.
Yeah.
I mean, actually being released from corporate America, I mean, I was went out kicking and fighting and screaming, and I was not a happy camper about it. But then that afforded me some time. Mm-hmm. And that was an opportunity for me and Kristen to kind of really start to think about, oh, what would we like to do? What do we want to kind of reach out and start to experience? I had recently gone through Reiki training. So I went through all the levels of Reiki and became Reiki master.
As did I.
Oh, gosh. And, you know, don't you feel like Reiki kind of opens up the floodgates? It did for me, because I think suddenly I had this new experience and new awareness.
Yeah.
And that kind of just started to move forward with different things that we started to get involved in. But the long and short of it is that my son-in-law had an internet radio station called Chakra Radio. And really, the whole thing that happened was one day we were sitting at the kitchen table and I said to him, you know what, Aaron, you need a talk show. That would be so cool, because he had this phenomenal music on the radio.
Oh, he was doing music on Chakra Radio.
Oh, it was all alternative music.
Oh,
and it was
wonderful.
And I said, oh, Aaron, put a talk show in there. That would be so cool. A nice, interesting little change, a little vibe to the station and what it offers.
That's a great name, too.
Chakra Radio.
He must have gotten in early to get that name.
He still has it. I think he still...
Well,
the station is no longer active, but I think he still owns the domain. But the long and short of it is that he looked over at me and he said, you know what? That's a great idea. Why don't you and Kristen do it?
Oh.
And I'm thinking... No. That wasn't where I was going with it. That was not where I was going with it. I was just kind of giving you an idea. So we talked about it, and I said, yeah, okay, we'll do it. I had no idea where to begin. I didn't even feel comfortable with it. Eventually, we kind of went into what was the recording studio, which is the little closet in their spare room. And it started with me and Kristen just kibitzing back and forth about little topics that inspired us and that we wanted to talk about. But boy, was it horrible. It was a horrible experience, Kim, because we were really struggling. We were struggling with getting the flow and just the uneasiness of
the inner dialogue can be the saboteur.
It was horrible.
Yes.
It was really horrible. And so I had a brainstorm. I said, oh, my gosh, why not interview people? That'll
nice
be
way to
so
start
much
out.
Easier.
Yes.
And hence the beginning of the talk show.
Yeah.
But, I mean, really, it wasn't anything that I had this burning passion in my soul and my heart that I thought, someday I'm going to get to do this, and this is going to make a difference in the world.
No.
And so, and so over time, you know, we went from doing interviews, as we did with you, with we actually had a regular landline, and we put it on, what do you call, speakerphone?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we were recording the interviews.
Wow.
Yeah,
well, it sounded
good
for a speakerphone, actually.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah,
it wasn't too bad. And then eventually, over time, we went on to Skype. And then eventually, after Kristen took a hiatus from the production, I ended up meeting a few very wonderful people that had some video cameras, and we became a field production in actually filming. But again, all of it happened, I don't even know, it just happened through osmosis. I mean, it wasn't
serendipity,
like,
I'd call
I guess maybe that's what it was.
Serendipity.
It was like every single step of the way was kind of divinely led.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Like, I'd sit there and I'd go, oh gosh, we don't have a recording studio. We don't have a place to do this. And then all of a sudden I'd find somebody that was doing something wonderful at a local place. And I went, oh, let's go ahead and do the interview there. So it was one of those things where I was finally able to, for me, the experience was not feeling like I had to control things as much as I always felt like I had to do in the past, to kind of put some little bit of intention and structure into it, but to kind of let the universe lead it. And I have found that that has worked so beautifully, and it actually works better. The less I hold on to it and the less I feel like I've got to control it, the better it is.
So I would call that the less I dictate the how it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I mean, I always have a little bit of a game plan.
Yes.
and all of that, but you know, so many times you can get so bogged down into the minutiae,
yeah,
or kind of overthinking it, yeah, that I actually have to sit back and say to myself, wait a minute, let's not get that carried away. Let's take it one step at a time.
Yeah.
And let's see what happens, because to me, the end result is always so different. And when I worry about the steps too much in between, mm-hmm, it's just nonsensical worry. It's not good energy. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
I totally am resonating with you, girlfriend.
Yeah.
So when I was in corporate America, because my degree is in computers and information systems.
Oh, gotcha.
So that was, I was thinking about that on the way down here, and I was thinking how much stress that was. To be responsible for, and I've worked in just about every sector of business. And when I was doing it, I loved it because I was programmed be like I call myself a type A plus recovering.
Oh, yeah, exactly, sure.
Like, you know, I never, and like, I don't say this to brag, I think it's hysterical, that I never put anything into production, we called it, that failed. It never had an error.
Oh,
now that's whacked.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I should have at some point, like everybody does, everybody around me did.
Yeah.
It's just that I was so balled up in the perfection of it.
Yeah.
Like my body suffered. It was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
It was crazy. And so that, just looking at that. And so my kind of changing point was, I had kids.
Okay.
And so having my first daughter, and we had always planned financially that if I chose to at the time, that I would be able to stay home and raise the kids for at least a couple of years. And that's what we did. And I'm so grateful that we planned out, you know, our housing situation. We planned out everything so that I would be able to, if we chose to, because we were married for 5 years.
Okay.
You know, that was my plan.
Yeah.
I had a plan.
Yeah. You had it all down.
I had it all. And it was written in my Franklin Daily Planner.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, my God. I remember when I was working at Merrill Lynch, no offense, everybody that's still there, but I got paid every other week, and I would write down how many weeks till the down payment was saved for the house,
because
was so ready to get out of there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I, you know, it's a lovely company.
Yeah. Oh, sure. As all corporations are, aren't they? But you know what? It's interesting, because some people really do well, and they are very content. I did meet some people in the course of my, you know, careers with a couple of different corporations that really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
and
they're
did
the ones
well.
That are putting things in IT into production that have errors, because they're not stressing. They're not putting in all the extra time fixing other people's errors and making sure you're... Yeah, no, I enjoyed it because that was the level of whatever that I was at.
Yeah.
Well, myself.
You kind of get caught up in it. And you don't
wheel.
Really... Right, exactly, the hamster wheel. And you don't... And if that's your world...
That's all you know.
That's all you kind of know.
Yeah.
But then when you step out of that world, that's when you start to kind of look back and reflect. I don't know about you, but I think... How did I survive that?
Yeah. Yeah.
What was wrong? And like you, I had a lot of physical, you know, challenges. I mean, I was really going through a lot of stress.
The stress affects the body.
Yeah. The one corporation that I worked for quite a period of time, I just knew I needed to leave, because I knew that if I didn't leave, it was really going to take its mental toll on me.
Well, smart.
And I really, I had no choice. But it's unfortunate that so many of us let it get to that point.
Yeah.
So for me, the joy and the passion and the liberation of doing this is the fact that I'm just kind of letting a lot of it evolve.
Yes.
But the
much
other...
different. It's much different experience.
Yeah.
Much different.
And the other thing that I really would love people to kind of take away with them is the fact that I have no actual formal training.
Right.
Or experience in what I'm doing.
Right.
And a lot of it is, and a lot of the people that are part of my team, and that team has evolved over time. I mean, we come to the table with basic skills and knowledge and all of that, but none of us are, you know, professionals, right, per se, in any particular area.
Yeah.
But yet, I think the passion and the creativity,
yeah,
and
it
the
trumps
joy,
it.
And we all are kind of linked together with this common goal.
Yeah.
And I think that goal of wanting to really create media and share stories with people that will help transform their lives and give them and make them feel empowered is, you know, beyond words, really.
Yeah, so let's delve into that a bit more about the vision behind, because what matters most? I mean, that's powerful.
Yeah.
What matters most? So tell us more about the vision.
The vision of what matters most is really, let me put it this way. I kind of felt frustrated a lot about what's out there in the media.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of it is just really not very positive.
True.
And I wanted to share stories in my travels and in conversations with people. I realized everybody's got a story.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a passion.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have hooked or linked into something that really makes their heart sing.
Oh, I love that expression.
Right?
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah. That and see, to me, all of the stories that we share, they're very diversified.
Yes.
It really isn't so much the story, because each item, like maybe somebody's a drummer, and maybe the drumming is the thing that set them free.
Yeah.
Or maybe another person's an artist, or maybe a person's become humanitarian.
Yeah.
That's just the one component. Mm-hmm. The idea is to let people know that there's something out there, and look, I want to share these stories with you so that you realize, hey, wait, maybe that's the thing that's going to make me feel alive.
Yeah.
Make me feel empowered. Make me feel like I can, like every morning is a joy to wake up to.
Yeah.
And so really that's the mission behind the show, is for us to share these wonderful stories in a way that make you feel like, yeah, I can do that too.
Oh, that's beautiful, yeah. Maria.
Yeah. Mm. Thank you.
I'm just letting that land and basking in your beautiful energy.
Oh, thank you. Mm. Yeah, well, I'm real passionate about it, because I feel like with my own, I think you become passionate when you've had a struggle.
Yes.
As we all have.
100%.
Yeah. It's that, you know, dark day, you know, yeah. I mean, a dark night of,
yes,
whatever they call it.
Yes.
And, you know, you're kind of resurrecting yourself. You've,
yeah,
become the phoenix.
Yeah.
And you're you know, pulling yourself up. And
amen.
I want people to be able to have that same experience. You know, that is every day 100% beautiful? No, there's days that we all struggle that are not so nice.
Yep.
But really having something that you can hold on to,
mm-hmm,
that really ignites you,
mm-hmm,
makes all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we share and we give and we feel good about that, that just spreads. It's, mm-hmm, a ripple, you know?
Mm, I love that.
Yeah.
Well, it is already time for a commercial. We're so grateful for our sponsors here at Hunterdon Chamber Radio. So we are going to take a quick break and be right back with Maria Plass from What Matters Most. We'll be right back. And we are back with Raising Conscious Kids Radio and our special guest, Maria Plass, from What Matters Most. And before break, we were talking about, you know, one of the visions for What Matters Most was to really put a different, I don't want to say alternative, but it is really alternative, more inspiring stories and, you know, just information, inspiration out there. And we started to talk a little bit, and I think it deserves a little bit more time, talking a little bit, just briefly, about what's your perception of the negative effects of media, especially since you're someone who's being a catalyst in creating positive media that inspires people?
Well, it makes me completely wild when I turn on the television, because so much of it is so negative.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, a few years back, I remember somebody made a joke about CNN, and they called it completely negative news.
Wow.
And,
yeah,
and really, when you think about it,
yeah,
I mean, flip on the news. I mean, it's all... it's bad. You know, yeah. I mean, it's oh, this person got murdered, or there was a robbing, and then there was there was a tornado. It's just like, I think to myself, my goodness, what are they doing going out there looking for the worst possible stories to share?
I think with the, so, yes. I would say yes.
And so many times I would think to myself, now what would the news be like, or how would people feel if when you flipped on the news and it was like, okay, so today we have this wonderful person who just, you know, opened up their doors and shared their home with somebody that had a tragedy and everything worked out wonderfully.
I'm laughing because it's so, like, right. Not what's happening.
Yeah. This person spends a lot of their time at the food bank. We're going to talk to you about what they're doing there. And let's share a story about how this person rescued this dog. And can you imagine if every time you turned on the news, it was just stories of all the wonderful things that people do.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe I'm being a Pollyanna, but I really do think that there's more good than there is bad out
yeah.
there.
I really
feel that way.
Sure.
And if all you're being...
Or we'd all be dead because somebody would have already killed us.
Oh, my goodness. Like, why are we still here? How, yeah, exactly. How are we making it through the day?
That's true. And I
really wanted that. I want that perception to change yeah. so badly, because I think when a lot of it is, or a majority of it is focused on negativity, it just constantly breeds
yeah.
fear.
Fear, yes.
It's fear. It's fear. Because, you know, what do they say? Either you're coming from a place of fear or you're coming from a place of love. Mm-hmm. So can you imagine what the world would be like if we all came from and felt this place of love? Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't afraid that as I walk by you that maybe you're going to do something to me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you've got to be afraid, because look at what's going on in the news. Yeah. Look what's going on in the world today. Yeah. We're all going to hell in a handbag, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and it concerns me that so much of the media is driven to promoting and, you know, fear-based reactions in people. And so I wanted to make a shift. To me, the show is that catalyst mm-hmm. in the beginning. You know, or maybe at some point pulling together so much of the positive media
yeah.
that is out there, but it's all scattered all
yes.
over the place.
Yeah.
Because, you know, one of the questions that people ask me all the time as the person that creates the content for all these shows is, do you ever have trouble finding people, you know, and stories to tell and topics, you know, that are of interest? And I said, honestly,
no.
Once you start to, you dig, you have to stop yourself.
Yeah.
Because it's amazing how many even small businesses or even larger businesses, so much of what they do, they're giving back. They're mm-hmm. giving back to organizations or to people and you just don't hear about it. You just don't even hear about it. I mean, it's amazing to me that the variety and the diversity of things that are being done that are so good and wonderful in the world.
Yay.
And I think people need to hear that. Yay. And I'm doing all that I can to share that.
Woohoo! Well, I appreciate you, Maria.
Thank you.
And I agree totally, because, you know, we have about 500 channels on our TVs.
Yeah.
And, you know, like,
that are mostly infomercials.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. And I'm flipping. I'm like, how much am I paying to Comcast for this? And sometimes it's so hard to find anything to watch.
Yeah.
Because I always joke.
Yeah.
I don't want to see anybody getting killed.
No.
I don't want to see anybody getting operated
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
So there's most of the shows. So what do I watch? My guilty pleasure. My kids tease me, especially my daughter. I watch The Real Housewives.
Okay.
I admit.
It's okay. It's okay.
I think it's funny.
Yeah.
I think,
yeah.
You know, I think it's because there's so little things to watch. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You know, one of my shows that I do like to watch is, I love watching Oprah's
yes.
Super Soul Sunday.
Of course, Oprah.
And I yeah. love, you know, I mean, what she represents and all that she's done is
yeah.
phenomenal.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are times that I kind of feel like, you know, Oprah's not the only person doing this.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And to me, what I love to be able to do is share those stories of people that are like the hidden treasures.
People, yeah, regular people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People that you would you know, they don't have a lot of notoriety, and maybe they've never written a book, so they may not ever make it to the A or B list that would warrant them to being on a show like Super Soul Sunday or one of the other, you know, more notorious syndications on TV. But that doesn't give them less value.
100%. I agree with you.
You know, because, and let's face it, everybody's on this journey. And so capturing and being able to tell that story as somebody that's more in the early stages, I think that's really exciting.
And also it's exciting to help, you know, so I'm similar, except at this point I'm on the radio. But drawing in, like, so there are, and I've interviewed, you know, famous and not famous, and it doesn't matter because the message and the conversations that we can have are similar. You know, like, that's always my intention as I'm driving to the studio. You know, let's let this time be an inspiration. Let people walk away with a nugget that can, you know, maybe improve their lives today. You know, so that's always my intention. So I totally agree with you that, you know, yes, it's great that Oprah is interviewing, you know, Deepak Chopra and those kind of people. But there are so many others. And so it's such an, such a great thing. And now with the internet, to be able to have access. So people like you and me that want to have more uplifting messages and, you know, listen to, like, flood our consciousness with this positive thing, you know, the positive things that are going on in the world. You know, we have such an opportunity now. So how do people find what you're doing? What's your, I'll put it on my, in my goodie bag too.
The website?
Where's, what's your website? How
do we find you? It's really easy. It's called whatmattersmostshow.tv.
Very easy.
We kept it really easy. One of the things that I would like to share with you, just like briefly. Is what we did was, not only do we tell really interesting stories and talk to people that really have a message to share with people, but we do it in a, an interesting way. And what I looked at when I was repackaging the program, because it's gone through a bit of, as we mentioned earlier, a bit of a transformation over the last 4 or 5 years of its existence. And I've repackaged it recently to include, I'm no longer hosting, and so my my lovely daughter is re-entering the picture again. She is the female host, and I have a wonderful fellow that is a the male, and so I have a woman and a man, which I thought was really, I wanted to do that of the varying perspectives. Kristen is more of the spiritual guru. She's kind of on the journey. She's on the path. She's, you know, taking it all in and just loving it. And my lovely male host is, it's all new. Show me the way. I'm willing to learn. And he's light and free-hearted and easy breezy. And so we've got this varying perspectives. An interesting dynamic between the two of them. And so we wanted to bring in a bit of an entertainment factor to it so that it's not just sitting there going, you know, some of this can be like, okay, let me get my pen and pencil out and let me start writing down and taking notes. It's very serious. I have to transform my life. I'm ascending.
I'm ascending.
I'm going to get it right. Hallelujah. So we wanted to make it, you know, like life. You know, it's happy, right?
I'm writing that down.
I'm ascending.
That's awesome.
So I wanted it to be fun to watch, enjoyable to watch. And so these wonderful perspectives from both of them will be really, I'm hoping it's something that viewers will really enjoy. This is our new season. And so we're going to incorporate a little bit more travel into it so that it's visually enticing. So I feel like we've got the best of all worlds. We've got entertainment. We've got a variation of perspectives. We've got a lovely travel component, so it's visually enticing. And then we've got these wonderful people that are really masters, teachers, experts in their field. And so we're going to incorporate a lot of this together to make it the best of the best.
Wow.
So I hope everybody gives it a thumbs up.
I'm sure. Okay, so what's the website again? And again, I'll put it on my the link on mine.
It's called whatmattersmostshow.tv.
Okay, and that's on the, as my son calls it, the interweb.
The interweb, yes, yeah.
It's the interweb. The internet.
But the other thing that I'm going to share with you was something that we just recently talked about. Eric Anzalone has been the, in the past, if you looked at any of my episodes, my video episodes, he's been our established host, and he's such a great guy, but Mr. Anzalone happens to be a member of the Village People.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's the biker in the Village People.
Oh, fun.
And because of his full-time gig, he's on the road a lot. And when I say a lot, he travels like 270 days of the year.
He's still performing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you go, guy.
Yeah, yeah. They're
Is he the Y, the M, the C, or the A?
Well, I think they all, oh, I don't know.
Or do they all do it at the same time?
I thought they all did it at the same time.
Okay, maybe they do. They probably do.
I think they all do like the whole thing at the same time. He's the biker, as I said. Cool. And he's global. He's all over the place.
Wow.
They've really...
Travel with him.
Yeah, travel with him. So Eric is going to be our global presence.
Oh, cool.
So he's going to be interviewing people all around the world. He was just coming back from Helsinki a couple of days ago is when I spoke with him. And I said, oh my gosh, we've got to get this going because I want him to be able to talk to people in Helsinki, in Singapore, in Thailand, in Australia, and talk about what matters most to them. So that we really kind of create this wonderful global, you know. Yeah, yeah. So I think people will be really interested and exciting. I know I'm excited about it. I know he's excited about it too. So a little expansion.
Very good. That's a lot of expansion.
Yeah.
That's exciting. It's time for our final quick break.
Okay.
And then we'll be right back with Maria Plass. Thanks everybody for joining us and we'll be right back. So Maria, I just want to ask you, we are in our final segment here, and I just want to ask you what you've learned about taking a leap of faith and trusting.
So much, Kim. I really can't even, it's hard for me to really find a point to begin with it.
Yeah.
Because again, working so many years of my life in corporate, that philosophy was something that was not natural for me. Or if it was, I'd forgotten about it. You know, I think we kind of come into the world with all of that inner knowing and knowledge. And then life, you know, life happens. And just being able to take a leap of faith and do something and not really have any real idea where it's going to go and just get caught up in the passion of it was really, it's still very, to me, moving. And I hope it's inspiring to other people and not to be afraid to make mistakes and actually to almost regain that feeling that you had as a child that it didn't matter.
Yeah.
You know how we used to play?
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if you did it right or wrong.
Yeah.
You just want to have fun.
Yeah.
One of the philosophies that's so important to me with my team is that we're having fun and that we're all co-creating.
Amen.
And that we are all significant in the process. And that I personally even feel that even when we're on a shoot, you know, you can go to somebody like me and maybe I'm considered the producer. And maybe there's a production assistant there. But guess what? Every person's role is critical because when that person isn't there, it makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want everybody to feel that they can play and not to worry about the, we made a mistake. Guess what? We made a mistake that didn't work. Yeah. What did we learn?
Yeah.
What can we do to improve? Yeah. Because maybe if you didn't make that mistake, you wouldn't know what to do next. So that mistake might have been really critical and important.
What a different perspective
than
we were raised with, perhaps.
Oh, Catholic school.
Oh, wow. Okay. Did you ever have the ruler on the knuckles?
Yeah. Do I need to say more? Two words, Catholic school. No. It was regimented, rigid. I mean, you know.
Wow.
So really to be able to kind of open up your heart, open up, you know, breathe in and be able to take it all in and just not worry about the minutia. Yeah.
So when I was at that point, when I really wanted to birth, like it was my inner calling to birth something new, I got a coach because I knew that, you know, I wanted to get, and I was getting opportunities. Like people were asking me to, you know, do this, do that. And so my inner knowing said, get a coach. And even though I was kind of resistant at first.
Okay.
And then I realized, you know, I went to school for IT. I got my MBA. Like I devoted years of my life to master that craft, which I loved. It served me well. You know, it was really good. And now this new stage. So I think sometimes, especially as women, we don't give ourselves permission to really invest in ourselves again.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that could be a critical piece for people that are listening, saying, well, yeah, you know, this is all good for you, but I have a mortgage. No, it's still possible. And you could do things, you know, part time. And like, you know, that's how I got into coaching myself, is from the corporate training that I was doing. You know, I would go in once a month. And then I really felt, you know, it was just like very organic. It became like this thing like, oh, but I could really help them so much more if I were either A, here more than once a month, or if I had one-on-one time with them. So, and I hadn't even heard of, you know, the concept of coaching as a career or, you know, as something. And then just, you know, serendipity. I got involved with a coach because I won something on the radio, you know, just
kidding.
Like, yeah, just like crazy. Like, so Marianne Williamson, who I've interviewed, who's lovely, said, you know, your perfect career is unveiled to you, is revealed to you.
Okay.
And so I always, isn't that cool? So very different than how I was raised. Not that there was anything wrong with that. You know, it's all good. But it's a very different philosophy. So if anybody's listening thinking, the yeah buts that come in, that's just the ego kind of, you know, keep you safe and put the kibosh on it.
Absolutely.
But, you know, we can listen or not listen.
Yeah. I think the other thing that I think is, for me, what is really something that I've worked at and I continue to work at is when things are not working, it's again part of this kind of let go, is not to force it.
Yes. Oh, that's so much different.
And those decisions can be somewhat challenging sometimes to your soul. I mean, really. But, you know, it's like, I got to make it work. If it's really not working, let it go. Yeah. Because later on, you kind of do, I knew it wasn't working.
Yeah.
And now you're frustrated with yourself. And now, you know, so much more energy and time and momentum has been invested in whatever it is.
Yeah.
And just to kind of like, it's not working.
Yeah.
And it's just not working. So maybe it's not working because it's, number one, not meant to work. Or maybe it's just not meant to work now.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I had a recent situation where there's somebody that I'm really interested in making a connection with. And I made a couple of phone calls and I sent an email and I didn't get a response. And the person that suggested this to me said, oh, you got to keep trying. And I said, you know what? I'm going to let go.
Mm-hmm.
Because for whatever reason, it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay. Mm-hmm. And I find that if once you can let go of that, you allow the space into your life, right?
So I have a funny story
for what's really meant to be, because otherwise you're like blocked because I got to get this to work.
So I had the intention of connecting with Marianne Williamson because I wanted to interview her.
That must have been wonderful.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
During my telesummit, I interviewed her. And I had the chance to, so I met her at a Hay House convention. And I Can Do It convention, which was awesome in Florida.
Okay.
And I just stumbled over my words. I was like she was my shero, you know?
Yeah.
And so then I'm walking through the airport, like the convention's over. I'm going home and I'm like, oh, so I'm beating myself up. And then I'm like, no, wait. Like, so I just gave myself a break. I just stopped the judgment and I said, it'll all work out. So I'm guided to go to this Mexican restaurant in the airport. Guess who's sitting at the table next to me?
Marianne Williamson.
I had to let it go. I don't believe that would have happened if I hadn't let it go.
Yeah.
And then I had a nice organic conversation with her. She was alone. I was alone.
Right.
And so that's how I initially connected with her.
And probably because of the fact that it was so organic.
Yeah.
And it just this was this, you know, natural flow.
Yeah.
One thing led to another, yeah. And it felt, oh, yeah, of course I'd love to talk to you.
Isn't that funny?
Versus maybe if you had pushed through it, be like, yeah, well, let me have my publicist get in touch with you, and I don't know what my availability is, and you would have maybe gotten all of that. It is it's something that we kind of, you know, you have to stop yourself and say, nope. Let it go.
It's a different way of being, but it's possible. It's possible. Take it from me, type A plus recovering.
And
I feel like you're a type A plus recovering as well.
Yeah.
So for us,
still recovering.
Yeah. So we're not like, so anybody who's thinking, oh, this is an airy fairy conversation.
No.
Not really.
No.
Not really at all. No. We're very deliberate. I would say we're deliberate.
Absolutely.
Creators. Would you agree?
I absolutely. In fact, my favorite conversations are with people that have maybe stepped out of that very structured, you know, employment style or background or whatever it happens to be, and are now really kind of either involved or embraced this philosophy of, I don't know, all this transformation that's going on.
Yeah.
Because I think as you talk to people more and more, you'll find that there are more and more of us that are kind of like interested and wanting to make this shift in our lives, realizing that there's more to it.
So tell me, this is Raising Conscious Kids. So what's it like working with your daughter? Like I hear that. I'm like, oh, I'm so jealous.
Yeah.
Not really jealous, but, you know, jealous with a wink. So
no,
how is that?
I'm really thrilled. I am so thrilled that she's back with me and we're back on the road again doing this together, because I really loved, and I think we really had this passion of doing the interviews together. It was really a challenge for me on a spiritual level when she told me that she wasn't going to be able to do this. Just because she had this growing family, things were happening in her life. It just wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually almost contemplated shutting the show down because it really had that much of an impact on me.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth, I went into a lot of meditation.
Mm-hmm.
But there was always this like little voice in my head that was like, Don't let this go completely. Mm. Don't let this go. You maybe need to, it may have taken on a new dimension, but don't let it go. And so this is what I did. I kind of put it out there and I said, all right, I'm going to give it one more shot.
Mm.
And if it doesn't work, then I know that I've learned whatever I need to learn from this and to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it will work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to just have faith and see what happens.
Yeah.
Again, beyond my wildest dreams, I think for me, it was a lesson that I could do this on my own.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yes, at a deeper level.
Yeah, because I felt so intertwined with doing it with her that I was personally challenged with, I don't think I can do this alone.
Mm.
And it really, it gave me the growth that I needed.
Yeah.
And I didn't, you know, you don't know that that's your lesson at the point where you're learning
you don't.
It. You're like, and I always say this, like, could you just please make the lessons obvious to me? So I can learn them and get them over with.
What fun would that be?
So, yeah. And so it's interesting that I learned the lesson.
Yeah.
And now she's coming back.
That's amazing.
It's a real interesting story.
That's amazing.
We don't have enough time. We need another show. But
I know. So tell us about, you were saying, talking to me about, you're doing a crowdfunder. Can you talk about that?
Oh, gosh. So I'd love for people to be able to, if they're not familiar with the show, to check us out, to go on the website, whatmatterismostshow.tv. And also, we have this lovely crowdfunder, which is right now with GoFundMe, and it's called GoFundMe/WMM Show. And we're looking for people to maybe, you know, open up their heartstrings and, you know, give us a little bit of cash, because we want to go back into production and to really be able to continue what we're doing and to be able to do it in raising the bar We need some money to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. We've taken this show on this journey for quite a while, and it's really been a labor of love. When I tell people that each production is 250 hours of time.
Wow.
It really is.
What?
Yeah, between you know, going in and looking at who do you want to talk to, doing that initial pre-production research, script writing, you know, three camera guys, post-production, it's many, many hours. No one can even imagine how many hours it is to get the show to where it is. And I want to be able to, you know, continue to do this, to be able to go on wonderful journeys and ventures, and to be able to pay all these wonderful people that invest so much of their heart and soul into it.
Mm.
So if you can help us, we'd really appreciate it.
Mm, nice. So when we go to whatmattersmostshow.tv, that's the name, right?
That's the website.
So we can watch the episodes?
Oh, all of them are on there. Yep.
Okay, good.
Yep. It links back to my YouTube channel. So.
Okay, good. Good, good, good. Yeah, I'm just taking notes because that world is new to me.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so at least
we'll show you the way.
Yes, who knows what I'll be doing in a year. Following you around the world.
A month.
Exactly. Next week. Next week we're in Tunisia with that guy from the Village People.
That's right.
Why?
That's right, exactly, in Tunisia.
So in our final minutes, I just want to thank you so much for joining us. And if there was, I'm putting you on the spot, if there's one little nugget that you would like folks to take away from today, from your story, from your journey, which is an amazing journey, what would it be, Maria?
Oh, gosh, if I could tell people or share with people one thing, is I would say be a courageous warrior. Be fearless. Don't worry about what people have to say, because you will find that the people that will criticize you the most are the people that are not in the arena with you.
Yes.
They're not in, you know, they're not there.
Yeah.
And that can be the biggest challenge. That can really be the biggest challenge. So many times those well-meant comments can even come from people that are very close to you in your life, and they can be hard. They can be really challenging to your soul. But if you really feel that you have a passion for what you want to do, just be that warrior and say, I don't care.
Mm.
I'm going to give this every shot.
Amen. Thank you. Goosebumps.
Yeah.
All right. In our final moments, I'm just going to end with my usual. Well, first of all, go to RaisingConsciousKids.com and join us for our community and our goodie bags. It's free, and I don't send many emails, just saying. And I just want to end with my usual, as Uncle Bill closed each of his worship services for many, many years, an old Irish blessing. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind always be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Have a great week, everybody.